Doctor, look.
Stand aside, nurse. I'm Dr. Homebrew.
Hey, what's going on, fellow homebrewers? We are back. It's Dr. Homebrew. We're back in the studio here in the virtual Zoom-built studio, and we have some homebrew to discuss, and then we have a cool conversation to have with the homebrewer. And it's not just about homebrew, and that's all I'm really going to say. And with me, of course, are Brian and Brian, the Council of Brians, part of the Council of Brians, anyway. What's going on, fellas?
Hello.
Hi, Jason.
Hi. Hello. I'm about to open a can of... You guessed it. Celebration.
Yeah. I knew it.
Of course. I still have, like, I don't know, 30. I feel like sometimes not saying, like, I shouldn't say that because someone's going to rob me. Like, I genuinely, you know, it's like one of those, like, don't talk about your wealth because then you're going to get, you know, robbed. Like that.
You're putting on public Facebook, I'm going on vacation for 2 weeks, and here's my address.
Yeah, right, exactly. Going out to a club with real diamonds on. Like, that's not what, you know. I'm posting online with real celebration ale in a sort of a dirty glass, honestly.
You're probably more worried that it's going to, the freshness is going to fade before you get to that 30th can.
Never. No, I'm never worried about it. It is one of the beers, and don't worry, I'm not going to go on forever about it. But it's one of the beers where I appreciate the journey that it goes on.
I was baiting you there.
Yeah. I know you were. You're a master at that.
And you know, JP, I haven't bought a 12-pack of beer in probably 3 years until last December when I bought, I think, 2 12-packs of Celebration and drank them all by right after New Year's.
There you go.
So, yeah, it's real good stuff. Now, I would suggest that you might want to consider hand-digging a hole about 10 feet deep in your backyard, putting your Celebration at the bottom of that hole, then filling in the hole so you get the benefit of that lower temperature in the ground, but you also protect it from thieves.
See, there you go. I just drink it and pee it into the ground. I let the local sewer system hold my urine. I don't know, whatever. What's going on, everybody? Before we get to Ryan, I do want to thank our sponsor, Five Star Chemicals. You can go to fivestarchemicals.com/homebrew-club-program right now. Sign up for the Homebrew Club program. It's a really cool program. They give you, free product, exclusive discounts, monthly educational seminars, and free stuff as well. So if you want to give back and support, Five Star, which is one of the pinnacles of the whole homebrewing movement. I really believe that, like, when Five Star came on the scene, they really revolutionized how you can clean and sanitize at home, you know, with the whole iodine-based stuff beforehand. It was a pain in the butt. Everybody knows it was staining tubing, and you didn't really know how long, or if you used too much of it. That was a lot of problems. And when I was working the showroom at More Beer, people would come in, oh, my homebrew kind of tastes weird. And it's like, oh, you use iodine, don't you? Yeah. Okay, I can taste it. Can't really do that with Five Star. So anyway, they're great supporters of not only homebrewing, of course, but of this show. So please check them out. And if you're interested at all in any of the information that they have to give out, or, you know, like I said, free stuff before it hits the market, or, you know, big discounts, sign up for their Homebrew Club program off of their website. It'll help you, and it'll show that you are interested in their products. And you can also send them an email. Thank them. Hey, thanks for supporting the show, guys. Appreciate it.
You know what I saw the other day that was really cool?
What's that?
Liquid PBW.
Liquid I saw that PBW. What the?
I saw it in a new brewer for craft beer professionals. So I went and looked online for it. Like, well, I wonder if they're selling this to home brewers. And sure enough, you know, More Beer, among others, has, you know, $29.99 here just on Google, 32 ounces of liquid Star Sand for $29.99.
You mean PBW?
Yeah.
Liquid PBW. Apparently it mixes better, which is always like the downside of PBW is that powder doesn't always get into solution. So, man, yeah. That liquid PBW sounds like it'd be pretty awesome.
See, look at that. Innovating already. Even now. Who would have thought there was room left for innovation? But Five Star got you covered. That's neat, man. I'm going to try that. I do like the powdered stuff, too, because like I said before, I use it to clean other stuff in my house. Like, it's a great cleaner for my sink. because it gets that scrub, you know, and whatever. And sometimes I like that the granules don't necessarily all disintegrate, because you can, you know, when, because I leave my shit, man, I leave stuff in it. My fermenter usually in the side port usually has some dried yeast or whatever in it. And it's just great to really grime in there. You can make a paste out of it and really get it in there. So everything has its uses, man. What are you going to do? Right? Yeah. All right, Ryan, what's up, dude?
Hey.
How's it going, man?
How you doing?
Yeah, you know,
it's good to be here.
Doing all right. We're doing all right, man. We're surviving. I'm trying to adjust all my lights in my studio, and I don't know if I'm doing a good job.
Having me on.
Yeah, yeah. Thanks for sending beer, more importantly. You know, who cares about us?
For sure.
Who cares about us? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So, okay, so you have a cool story, man. We're going to talk about it for sure. Your brewery or your company is Old Standby Brewing. I don't know. Let's not talk about it yet. We'll save it for the next segment, because I want to hear more about what you're doing. You're cool. Basically like one of the, what they call gypsy brewers, but you have a good reason. You brew for causes, and I think that's really cool. It's something pretty unique in the space. So we'll save that. But what's the beer that you sent us this time, man?
It's a big Imperial Coffee Stout.
Okay, yeah. Big Imperial Coffee Stout. Now, have you done something like this before?
Yeah, I've been doing it, kind of tweaking the recipe for the last couple years.
Okay.
Trying to get it right, trying to figure out how to do it, how to leave a little residual sweetness in there after it's done fermenting, so that when you bitter it with that coffee, it kind of can still balance out.
It's a hard one. Yeah, this would be a hard recipe to, you know, to perfect. A lot of coffee. Got to get through a lot of coffee.
That's a great label that JP just held up at the screen for anyone that is listening to the podcast.
Well, see, I want to talk about how you got, I just want to jump to all the things, but we got to go through the beer first. So let's talk about who you brewed this with first.
This one was just on my own here.
Okay.
I have a 20 barrel electric system here and a couple 14 barrels. Nice. I mean, a 20 gallon system.
That was going to say, dude, what the hell's going on? Yeah. Yeah.
20 gallon system, couple 14 gallon fermenters.
Okay.
And a little glycol chiller. And
you're set, dude. So you're kitted out. Yeah. Okay.
I brew about 20, 25 times a year here on this system.
Cool.
Wow.
And yeah,
that's a lot.
Yeah, that's a ton, man. That's a lot. All right. Well, let's get to the beer. Cooper.
For sure.
That's good. Yeah.
You got beer on your shirt. Let's do it.
Yeah. We're getting ready for the Livermore Valley Craft Beer Fest coming up in a couple of months, a few months.
Right on.
That's, oh, nice.
Yeah. And they do have beer crawl in downtown Livermore in February. So I'm thinking about those guys. We have some fun. That's coming up Thursday. Anyway, anyone want to join me?
I might.
Yeah. So in the aroma, I'm getting a really pleasant dark roast coffee up front. And, medium dark roast malt notes kind of alongside that. No hops, a very clean ale fermentation is apparent. A low sweet alcohol is poking through, no DMS or diacetyl. Really pleasant, but quite coffee forward, I would say. I gave it 8 out of 12 on aroma. The beer is just jet black with a brownish dark tan head that sticks around for eons. It's really creamy and textured. Clarity of the beer is next to impossible to discern, but I'll give it the benefit of the doubt, say it's clear, and give full 3 points for appearance. Flavor-wise, that rich coffee hits you on the first sip, but it's also smoothly sweet. There's some sweet alcohol in there, some vanilla-like notes. Rich imperial stout. It's those kind of malts are playing a stronger role here than in the aroma, but the coffee still wins hard. There's a lot of like cocoa-like character to it, like a soft kind of creamy cocoa, coffee and cream kind of flavors. Everything combines kind of nicely, but that sweet, you know, it's just like sweet coffee. It's like, and the coffee is really fresh, which is impressive. Again, it covers up some of the other elements of this. The beer is obviously malt balanced. Yeah, we're talking about bitterness a little bit. The beer has some of these imperial stouts with coffee, you get really sharp and biting. This one has a kind of a medium low to medium kind of bitterness. It seems like most of that's from probably from the the malts and a little bit from the coffee. So it finishes, and it finishes, semi-sweet towards sweet, not cloying or anything, but, very forward, almost like a dessert. I landed at a 14 out of 20 on the flavor. Mouthfeel wise, medium full bodied. It's really smooth. There is some warmth there. I would say it's medium, but it's not biting or hot. Medium low, bordering on medium CO2. It's pushing up a good head, but it's not like really carbonic feeling. But just big overall. It's a bit fuller seeming than even the body would suggest with everything going on here, that the creaminess of that. There's no astringency here. I just know there's a lot of sugars and or dextrins left in the solution here that you just feel them in your mouth. And sure. It didn't, I don't know. We'll find out how far down it fermented out at the end. I imagine it had a pretty high finishing gravity. 4 out of 5 for mouthfeel. Overall, this is a good example of how to get very fresh coffee into a beer. So I would like to talk to you once we get to that point about how you did your coffee extraction, and how you avoided that dreaded green pepper gnarliness that you can get sometimes in a coffee beer. But it's just so much, it covers up a fair amount of the otherwise really nice style components here. And the sweetness is pushing up a bit high as well. I landed at a 7 out of 10 for overall impression. Totaling to a 36, which is just, toward the top end of very good for that. I think, to improve the beer, if you find a way to back off the sweetness, back off the coffee a little bit, but keep that fresh coffee character with it, but just let the stout characters play through a little bit better. I don't know how long this is aged. It doesn't seem like it's a long aged beer, but sometimes this happens over time as well if you save some bottles. But really wonderfully drinkable beer. Just the only deductions are really for kind of the balance to me. But yeah,
for sure.
I'm interested to hear what Brian has to say about it as well. And JP even.
Totally.
I got things to say, especially about what you just said, but that's okay. We'll let Char go first, and then I'll flail Cooper.
So Ryan, thank you for sending this beer in. I have to ask my usual question, of course. Are you in a homebrew club?
I'm not in a homebrew club. No, no. In Salem, there isn't much going on here in Salem. I've met up with some other dudes here around town, and some of the people in Portland, and a little bit down in Eugene, but never joined up in a club myself.
Yeah. Meeting up with a few dudes around town kind of sounds sketchy. So you might want to be wary of that.
It depends on what you're into, man.
Cool. That's sometimes it's best to be by yourself when you're brewing. I don't know.
That's right. Well, yeah, then it's to share all those big fermenters.
Exactly. And you, yeah, I know. Yeah, right. How do you have like a ton of friends that come over and drink your beer? That's a lot of beer.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have a little October canner, so I can some beer up and just pass it out. Wow. And yeah, for sure. And enter, I use some of it to enter in some competitions and
nice. So,
yeah. So we get through it.
Well, if you're brewing at, bulk for a home brewer, which is probably good practice for brewing in bulk as a craft brewer. Cause that's sure. What you'll be doing all day, every day.
Probably.
Yeah, totally. That you're not trying to sell beer. Anyway, exactly. Enough of that. I really like this beer. I thought it was really nice. Aroma, high level of roasted malt. I got less coffee aroma than Brian did, but I also judged this probably colder than I should have.
I judged it really warm last night, and now I'm judging it colder, and I think it plays a little better on the colder side. Yeah. I had it sitting out for quite a while last night, and I maybe should have avoided that or cooled it back down.
And
I don't know.
Sometimes that's just the way it goes. And especially when you got a small child, you have every intention of judging and then you have to come back 2 hours later and do it. So we've all been there. I got a low plum / stone fruit aroma, not, huge fruit, but a little fruit. No obvious hop aroma, no off flavors or diacetyl. Gave it 9 out of 12 for aroma appearance. It's opaque even in front of a light. Usually stouts, they're pretty opaque, but you can get something at the edge. You'll be able to catch some color right there. And that was almost impossible to do. I got a little ruby looking stuff in like black. It's like that Spinal Tap album, the Black album. It's kind of like that. The head is low and persistent. You know, 3 out of 3 for appearance. A flavor. Initially, the flavor is kind of roasty malty with less roast and more more of the coffee, which is kind of the opposite of the aroma, which is interesting. It doesn't mean anything one way or another. It's not going to knock any points off or add any points. It's just always kind of interesting how some beers can sort of have an aroma that says it's you're going to be drinking A, and you end up drinking something related to that, but maybe flipped on its head. What one over A?
Sure.
But that was really interesting. I got a there's some more of that sort of currant slash plum stone fruit type aroma or a flavor. Low ethanol sweetness is present, not the harsh fusel. And there is a difference in beers like this. If you're drinking a high alcohol beer and it comes across harsh or fusely, that's not what it's supposed to be. That's bad fermentation. What you really want is kind of a sweetness you get from the ethanol, and that's here. And it's present and it's noticeable, but it fits into everything else in the flavor. Mid palate, hot bitterness comes up to balance the malt. The finish, it's long, malty, very well attenuated. I'll be curious what your OG and final gravity were on this, because it doesn't come across thick and cloying and big. It comes across hugely flavorful, but not like a thing you're going to chew for lunch and be done.
Sure.
So let's see. So 14 for flavor. Mouthfeel, 5 out of 5. Body is high. Carbonation's medium. Definite warming. Not astringent. Not creamy, but not perky either. It's a Russian Imperial Stout, or it's an Imperial Stout. It's, you can have almost no carbonation in these, and I appreciate kind of the medium level of carbonation. I think that does a lot for the perceived attenuation. It kind of lifts any heaviness off the tongue. So maybe this is like badly attenuated, but it's carbonated well enough that it masks that. I don't know, but well done. Overall impression, I gave it an 8 for a total of 39. I really like this beer. I thought the coffee was used very skillfully without overwhelming the flavor or the aroma. But kind of what Cooper and I just had discussed, maybe if this warmed up another half an hour, maybe this is one you want to drink right away. I don't know. Everything is balanced to make this a harmonious whole. If I changed anything, I'd add more aroma hops, because technically, according to the guidelines, you're supposed to have some hop aroma. I don't think a lot of Imperial Stouts have much, if any, hop aroma. You might think about that or play with it. If this is a beer you brew often or some frequency, you might just play with it, add some more, maybe add some fruitier rather than these came across a little more earthy, I think. But the
later edition.
Just a very, very at the end for aroma, maybe a little bit of flavor. But again, I think this is a good beer without that. That right. Just might for some judges, that might put it a little bit higher up, because they'll look, the guidelines say hop aroma has to be low. I'm not getting any. So I'm going to knock it down some. Right. If you're brewing for competition, that might give you a point or two. So thank you very much. I appreciate, thank you for sharing. This is really nice.
Yeah, totally.
And between judging this earlier and the show, I think I plan to finish drinking this bottle. It's too good to pour down.
Appreciate the feedback.
Cooper, what'd you give it?
I let it at 36, but I could come up 36. After listening to some of Brian's comments mm-hmm. there. I think
we're within 3, but I think that your comments aren't invalid, Brian. I think we just drank this beer at different stages of its thermal evolution.
Right.
It's probably better colder, like most beers.
Yeah, drinking it tonight, I'm feeling like it plays a little better, and that sweetness isn't lingering on my tongue as much, and it's
interesting.
It's nice.
So I screwed up and I left this beer out until about 8 minutes before we went live to put it in the freezer. So it's like basically room temperature. I think it's great. I mean, I would give it a 42. Personally, I like coffee stouts. I like I love coffee, and I love the way people use them or use that as an ingredient. It's one of the few ingredients I think that I can that just comes to mind, that there's basically one way to get it across. Every other way you get coffee across has that green pepper or watery, or it tastes like grounds. This tastes like coffee. There's a little bit of earthiness to the coffee where it's like, you know, it's like coffee just brewing, I guess. I don't know. I drink a lot of coffee. But, you know, and it's a coffee with stout in it. It's not a beer with coffee in it. And I have a feeling that's what you're going for. So, like, maybe stylistically, it's probably not really, you know, like the guys were saying, the more the beer should probably shine through a little bit. But man, is it ever delicious. The only thing that I would comment on is maybe get a little more body, maybe, or a little more malt flavor. I think like Char maybe was saying. But even that is with coffee. I think the reason coffee works with the beer like this is because it blends so well. It's hard to find that line. And I think if a coffee stout is done well, it should just ease right into the next note. You shouldn't have that line. So I think that the fact that it's hard to find is sort of okay. I'm okay with it, right? Sure. The coffee might be a little on the bitter side, just a little bit for me, but that's why it's a 42 and not a 50. This is a great coffee stout. I would buy this. I would definitely drink more of this. Well done. The chocolatey notes are there. But it finishes dry. I don't get a whole lot of, you know, extra sweetness on it. The coffee flavor is right on. It packs a punch. It smacks you in the mouth, but not overpowering, because at the end, it still finishes with that malt, you know, sweetness a little bit, a little acidity there, a little acrid. Fantastic. I can't wait to get into the beer, man.
Yeah, it seems to me like it might be, like you said, you know, he worked around the coffee and added the ingredients and the techniques to get it so that the coffee would play right and have everything else kind of supporting it and blending harmoniously with it, because it is a really enjoyable beer. And it does, you know, the balance for just an enjoyable drink is very good. I'm maybe being a little too hard at it and looking for, you know, getting a balanced imperial stout and then getting coffee in tandem with that.
That's what you're supposed to do, though. That's your job.
Okay.
You know,
that's why you hired me, sir.
That's right. Yes. Yeah, that's right. And that's what you're supposed to do. We're supposed to be judging these according to the style, where I'm more of a rebel. So I don't do that.
But wow, maybe make it into a new style. You know, if it's, you're doing something really special with it, you could enter it as a specialty, but then they might say, well, why didn't you just enter it as a spice or vegetable? It's a 38, dummy. But you know, if you turn it into something magical, like JP saying, a coffee drink with stout flavors or something, instead of being the other way around, that might be something cool to play with.
I like it. Like I said, there's a little bit of acridity left over that I'm not a huge fan of, but I would buy it again for sure. This would be on rotation. I really like it. Let's start. You want to share the recipe with us, and then we can talk about how you did the coffee and all that kind of fun stuff.
For sure. Yeah. So on this one, I did it for a 11 gallon finished batch. So there's about 50 pounds of malt in there, which pretty much maxes out my 20 gallon mash tun. So you can imagine efficiency is just like in the toilet for sure.
Right. So do you even bother?
This is the first time in.
Go ahead, Char.
No, I'm sorry. Go ahead, JP.
I am the host. I told you to go ahead. You listen to me, goddammit. You go ahead.
Well, listen to
go
you.
Ahead, Brian.
In 15 years of listening to the Brewing Network and being on the Brewing Network, I have never once, hundreds of hours of shows, thousands of hours of shows, heard a home brewer put 50 pounds of grain into anything.
All right, into their home system.
You win home brewing this month.
That's right.
A whole sack of grain into this one batch.
Yeah.
And wild, it's only double the size or so of most people's batches. That's crazy.
For sure. Yeah. So it's like 37 pounds of base malt and then all the specialty malt. I guess there's two pounds of brown sugar that I add in the boil. So I guess those 2 pounds weren't in the mash tun. So actually only 48 pounds, you know, so I might've just lost the,
Oh, I think yeah. you're still way in
still
the lead.
Running, just, man,
that's not,
yeah.
a, not a photo finish.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, it's got some Crystal 60 in there, some flaked oats, roasted barley, some Crystal 140.
There you go. Okay.
Two different chocolate malts and some black patent.
You got percentages or weights on that for us?
Yeah. So yeah about 75% is the base malt.
Okay.
And then 4% each for the Crystal 60 and the flaked oats and the roasted barley. And then 2% each on the, I put some Karastan, the 3037 in there, the UK. So there's 2% of that, 2% chocolate, dark chocolate, 2% Crystal 140 and 2% pale chocolate. And then 1.5% of black patent. And then that leftover 4% is the 2 pounds of brown sugar that goes into the boil. So
wow. Yeah,
pretty hefty. It's the biggest beer that I brew, and I usually only brew it once a year. Just cause it's 50 pounds of
well, yeah, man, for sure.
Yeah.
But that's a lot.
How much hops? Let's go hops for a second, just to yeah. laugh at the disparity there.
Yeah. It's a 90 minute boil. So I do a 90 minute edition of Warrior. So it's like a 60 BU when it's calculated out. It's only 2.5 ounces of Warrior. But, you know, it's 18, you know, at 18 alphas, it's 18% alphas. So
yeah.
And they're in there for the full 90. So,
yeah. Okay.
Wow.
Yeah. So yeah, it maxes out the system for sure. And I have to stir the crap out of it multiple times during recirc. And I have to underlead a couple times just because the false bottom gets pretty, you know, pretty, it gets pretty caked down at the bottom, you know? So
yeah.
I have to push some hot water. So luckily there's a little bit of room on the top so I can force some hot water in.
Oh, so you plug in like your hot liquor tank or whatever, and you pump water, clean water up to push the grain bed up a little bit. Okay.
Yeah.
That's a good idea.
Yeah. Push that false bottom clean, like kind of clear out the false bottom a little bit and mm-hmm. get it flowing again. Cause yeah, once you get towards the end, the recirc is pretty slow, mm-hmm. you know, as mm-hmm. opposed to, you know, a regular size beer. So
sure.
Yeah.
You're a very brave man.
And, yeah. You know, that's why this is only a once a year beer, but
yeah, dude.
My one of my good pals is a brewer, a pro brewer down in Orange County. And he's been working with me on this recipe. His name's Jared. And, He's been the brewer at Tustin Brewing down in Orange County, yeah. and now he's brewing over at Bearded Tang in Stanton. And so, yeah, he's been working with me on this. He's won quite a bit of medals with at World Beer Cup and GABF with this style of beer. And so he's been helping me out a little bit, trying to get it close to, you know, to what he's doing.
Nice.
So,
yeah, it's getting there.
Good to have like friends like that. I mean, yeah.
Yeah, for sure. This is like my third, I think about third or fourth year I've been brewing it. But yeah, like I said, only once a year. So yeah.
So what about the coffee? I think that in secondary,
sure.
what kind of coffee and how you're getting it?
Yeah. The coffee there. Goes in the keg actually at cold temps. So once the beer is completely done, it's crashed and it's over and I keg it. Then I do a coarse ground on the beans and sanitize a couple bags and just soak it right in the keg for 24 to 36 hours. It's pretty quick. And so I can do a smaller dose and then I pull it out and sample the beer and then decide whether or not that amount of bitterness is kind of balancing out all that malt sweetness or not. And then, so this time I actually added a second round, which is why the aroma on there is just kind of off the charts with coffee.
It's killer, dude. Yeah. Are you accounting for some of that bitterness from the coffee in your hop addition? So you kind of lighten the load a little bit, so to speak.
Yeah. Because I mean, on paper, the beer is from that hop addition, that one Warrior edition, it is about a 60 BU, but for how sweet that this beer finishes, yeah, I don't really know how to calculate the bitterness that's going to come from that coffee other than just tasting it, you know?
So, yeah. Yeah, you can't. Yeah. There's no way. That's interesting because I've had beers that, you know, do that, where you just like soak the beans and there's not, or the grounds, and there's not as pronounced or rounded of a coffee flavor. So I got to imagine with your malt bill, I got to imagine some of that malt bill is sort of adding back to that coffee. That's that interplay that we were talking about a little bit ago. Which is great. And that's what you want to do. You want to build your beer around your main ingredient like that, I think, for something like this.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, the OG is like at 1105, about 1107, right in there. It's a pretty, big starting gravity.
The fucking hydrometer just shot up. It's like, like when you take a pencil and you throw it up in the ceiling to stick. It's like that. It just, there it is. Yeah. That's up there.
Yep.
Wow. That's wild, man. Yeah. That's a great, it's great. What kind of coffee? What are you doing for that? I mean, you're in the land of coffee up there. So in Oregon.
Seriously, I've tried so many different brands and so many different like local roasters. And it's kind of shameful actually, but I keep going back. Well, I've gone back a couple times with different coffee additions to an Italian roast from a major brand.
That there we go.
I don't really want to say, you know,
So, all right.
I really like the flavor of this Italian roast and to drink, you know, just to drink as coffee. And so I'm like, all right, I'm going to go for a coffee that I really like and really enjoy.
Well, I'm not going to assume, and you don't have to say, but to this day, and maybe it's because I first started, it was like the first one I ever had, but the first coffee stout I really ever had was from Red Hook. It was like that double black or something like that.
And I that remember
was,
that.
Yeah, and that was made with double strength Starbucks Italian roast coffee. And I tell everybody every time I can, like, that to me is that's the best way to get that flavor in. And I think that's also the coffee. And I think what a lot of people don't understand, because I'm super smart, right? My brain's too big. What people don't understand about using coffee, it's not just any coffee. You can't do it. It's an agricultural ingredient, just like anything else that we use. And Guatemalan coffee is going to taste different than a Sumatran coffee, which is going to taste different than a Colombian coffee, especially in a different medium, not just brewed with hot water. But with that, you know what I mean? With actual beer and ingredients and stuff like that. So I think you're doing great. I think that sweeter coffee does come through. I think that's, I mean, it's a good addition. I like this beer a lot. I can't say enough about it. What about your yeast?
Right on.
Let's do that.
Yeah, for this one I used just Flagship, so just Cal Ale yeast. I make a huge starter for this one, you know, the night before, just because there's so much residual in there. It needs, you know, some of it does blow out of the fermenter even just because it gets rolling so much. So I keep a pretty good sized bucket underneath the fermenter just to make sure it can blow off into there. You know, not like the old days when I was, you know, fermenting in the closet and, you know, beer would explode all over your clothes. And
absolutely.
And what was your fermentation temperature?
I started pretty low, about 64. Mm-hmm. And then I let it kind of ramp up to about 68 at the finish.
Okay. Yeah.
That sounds like a pretty good idea to stop. I mean, those fusel alcohols, if you get them, are going to come from a rapid temperature excursion at the beginning. And if you kind of hold it down to 64, the yeast can kind of get a good start without going crazy and making a bunch of off flavors.
Yeah,
for sure.
Where did the final gravity land? You started at 1105.
Yeah.
It ends at about 1030-ish.
1025,
26.
Holy cow.
Oh, dude. Yeah.
That's the coffee
bitterness. You have to add coffee to this beer or else it's just like, it's a pastry stout almost without the coffee, you know, which is not anything that I really want to drink, but,
This is about as close as I want to get to that level of sweetness and that level of integration with those kind of like, you know, I think your caramel flavors, your caramel additions are doing you a service because like Cooper was saying, it is sort of like coffee with cream or whatever. You know, we've had a few East Coast breweries do that kind of thing a few times on the session years back. And it's great. It's good. It's very drinkable and it's a cool, you know, way to make a beer. But I think those caramel additions are helping with that perceived sweetness, I guess.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
That's cool.
Before the, you know, I still have a couple gallons in a smaller keg that I haven't added anything to yet. I might try a different coffee, you know, brand or type on that this time. I'm just kind of letting it kind of cold condition for a little longer. Mm-hmm. When you guys got those bottles, it was still a pretty fresh beer. I think I brewed it in like mid December.
Oh geez. Okay.
Yeah. But then I keep it in the fermenter for a little while, just kind of cold condition and crash it down. And then I keg it, conditions a little more in the keg, but I think it's a beer that can just hang around for months and months, you know, in the keg because it's got all that, you know.
Do you keep like a library of this? Do you keep like 6 bottles around and then maybe every once in a while you go back and you drink through 4 or 5 of them? I would love to see how this ages out over a year or two or three.
For sure. Yeah. I try to, but okay.
That's fair, man.
You know how that goes.
Yeah, I do. Yeah. So.
It's like my my celebration ales. I can't hang on to them. I just drink those things,
man. You can't do that, man, because then you can't be sitting here on February 15th having one, you know?
Seriously, yeah.
I've got one in the garage. I'll go get one right now.
There you go.
Oh, there you go.
All right, anything else on either side? Ryan, do you have any questions for these guys or vice versa?
I don't think so. You guys hit all the points. That was
cool.
I think, appreciate all the info.
I think Ryan's the only home brewer in Oregon to make one hop addition in a beer.
and use 50 pounds of malt, too.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. Any particular water-wise that you did to balance out all the dark malts in this or, you know?
Not really. We have really soft water here in the Willamette Valley. It's coming right out of the Cascades. And I charcoal filter it. And for this beer, I don't really add anything. I do add a little yeast nutrient, but yeah, that's about it. Yep.
Cool.
Nice nothing to have really. good water to start with. That's very helpful. That's amazing that you made such a clean and not hot beer, you know, 10, 11% almost. This is. So, well, good job there for sure.
Yeah.
Right on.
All right. Well, if that's it, let's take a break. We'll come back. We'll learn more about Ryan's story and what he's doing over there at Old Standby. So hang on, everyone. It's Dr. Homebrew. I almost said Dr. Session. We'll be right back. What's up, homebrewers? Hey, let me ask you a question. You spend a lot of time making your beer taste the way you want it to, right? Some of you even send beers into Dr. Homebrew for feedback. Well, the next logical step in your creativity is to craft some labels for those beers. And there's nobody better at creative labels than GrogTag. Their easy-to-use designs let you turn out some pretty amazing stuff like labels, bottle caps, coasters, even six-pack carriers with minimal effort on your part. They have a range of label sizes that fit any vessel you can think of. Bottles, cans, growlers, kegs. GrogTag has you covered. Head over to GrogTag.com today and check out their line of amazing, fully customizable templates and get your beer looking its best. GrogTags are water resistant, reusable, and will have your naked bottles looking great in no time. That's GrogTag.com and be sure to use code BNARMY at checkout to save 10% on your order.
Hello, fellow BNers. This is Sully from the 21st Amendment Brewery located in San Francisco, just 2 blocks from Giants Park. Before Nico and I opened the 21A and before I was a professional brewer, I homebrewed on my small 4-burner apartment stove in a back house in Santa Monica, California, making my extract brews before graduating to the daunting idea of all-grain brewing. Homebrew books and information was hard to come by back then. The internet hadn't been invented yet, along with other things we take for granted today, like electricity and potable water. One thing I wish I had back then when I was learning was a radio show that could teach me the ins and outs of brewing and answer questions that I had about homebrewing, a resource for making great craft beer. The 21st Amendment Brewery is excited to be a proud sponsor of Dr. Homebrew, a great show that teaches you what you need to know about making incredible beer. Good stuff. Listen up, you might learn something. I certainly did. And thanks for your support. Tasty Crack Games.
Time has been moved to 2:30.
All right. Thanks for sticking around, everybody. We are here with Ryan from Old Standby Brewing. Now, Ryan, tell me about Old Standby. What's your deal over there, up there, out there, in there?
Yeah, man. I'm up here in Salem, Oregon, originally from Long Beach. My brother and I started brewing back in the mid-90s.
Mm-hmm.
We had a little apartment in the east side of Long Beach.
There you go.
Down in California. And he shows up one day after work with the homebrew kit from Steinbart's, our local homebrew shop down there in Long Beach.
Okay, yeah.
Man, they've been that shop's been around forever. And so, man, we got to it. We got in the kitchen and whipped up some batches of beer, and they were probably pretty terrible, but we drank them anyway. And
yeah, I mean,
came over and
they usually are, dude. Yeah.
Yeah. Totally.
Yeah.
So, you know, we're drinking Sierra Pale and Sam Adams at that time, and you know, there's a little beer bar around the corner. We were drinking Widmer Wheat, you know, Widmer Hefs, mm-hmm. and you know, it was time to start, you know, see if we could do that.
It was the '90s. Yeah. I mean, that's like that's it encompasses perfectly drinking in the '90s. Just like, yeah, you know, got Widmer Hef, you got Sam Adams.
Exactly.
You're living the high life, man.
Exactly. Yeah. And then, you know, we were in a pretty rough neighborhood. So we had some dudes that would,
You said Long
Beach.
Drop
by occasionally. Yeah.
All right. I've been to the Walmart, to the Walgreens in Long Beach once, and that was very. I still wake up screaming.
Yeah, there's some rough neighborhoods for sure. There's some amazing parts, but
absolutely. Oh, yeah, sure.
You know, we couldn't afford the good part, so
no.
You know, we were in a pretty rough neighborhood, so So we're brewing in the kitchen, and you know, we did that for a little while, and then my brother got pretty heavily into it. He was brewing way more, and I was just kind of assisting him for the first, you know, 7 or 8 years. And then he advanced up to, you know, the igloo coolers and in the backyard. He moved over to a house and got, you know, had space in the backyard and kept going with it. And and then he stepped up to the tippy dump system there in like the mid, you know, early, I guess probably early 2000s.
Sure.
That more beer system.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Went out there to Riverside. I think they have a location out in Riverside.
Mm-hmm. And, yeah.
Yeah. So he bought one of those, and man, then it was seriously on. We had a lot of beer to go through. And so a lot of friends would show up, and it was just a good time, you know, brewing in the backyard and, you know, having a great time with it. So and then like mid-2000s I moved up here to Oregon. I have three daughters, and so I was teaching and didn't have too much time to brew right away, and I kind of got back into it once I moved up here. And then I was just brewing on my own and doing my own thing here in the garage. You know, started off real simple again with a single kettle and little propane burner, you know, and
just
brewing, you know, simple beers and having a good time doing it with friends and family around. And I just kind of kept going with it and entering competitions and winning some awards, which is always cool, and getting feedback and,
right.
You know, meeting a lot of people around through brewing. You know, there's always a lot of cool people around when there's beer around.
Oh,
right?
Sure. So, yeah. There's always a lot of people around. It takes you running out of beer, I think, to figure out if they're cool or not, you know?
Yeah, for sure. The neighbor, you know, you roll the garage door open and the neighbors just like appear, you know?
Yeah. It's almost like if you have a problem starting your lawnmower, suddenly all the dads in the neighborhood go, well, you need, have you checked the, you know, I got a thing, you know? Yeah,
for sure. Except in this case, they all show up with an empty glass and they're like, hey,
what's going on
over here? Yeah. So, I just kept going with it. And, in 2017, I stepped up to this all electric system. It was kind of the first version of the Spike system.
Okay.
So 320-gallon kettles with the Herms coil and the hot liquor tank. And, I bought a couple of SS fermenters. I could finally like afford some of this stuff. Saved up and, you know, paid some of it off over time.
Right.
So just kept going with it. And then, you know, just, the word kind of got out around town through my social media and stuff that, you know, I had beer and, you know, people were wanting it. And I'm like, all right, I can't really sell it to you, so just come over and, you know, I'll fill a growler for you or something like that. That was before I had the October canning machine and all that. And so, I just kept going with it. And then I decided, all right, maybe it's kind of cool to start donating some of this money to charity.
Oh, cool.
And so I created this brand name, Old Standby. It's like a trusted and reliable, you know, is the kind of the tagline for it.
Well, you've been brewing long enough where it sounds like you would be reliable and on making good beer. You know, you've brewing for 20 something years. You should know how to do it.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
You're right.
And, and then this brewery down the street here had me teaching some, I have a teaching background. And so they had me teaching some beer and brewing classes, and that was kind of cool. So
neat.
The word was getting out and people wanted to try my beers and stuff. And so I'm like, all right, yeah, just, you know, make a donation. And, you know, I had hats and shirts and glassware and stuff like that. And then I was just donating all the proceeds to charities. Each month or two, I'd choose a new charity and all the proceeds would go towards that, you know, monthly charity.
That's cool, man.
Yeah, I put a website together, and it's like as far as I could go without actually owning my own brewery, you know?
You know, I think a few people, you know, will have a brand for their home brewery, and then maybe they'll go on like Grog Tag and get a metal sign or whatever, right? And like that's their swag for their brewery. But to sell it enough to where you're making a profit, it's not just that cost, because oftentimes, you know, you make a t-shirt one off and it's like expensive to do. So you're not really up charging anybody, but in order for you to make a profit and then to have enough to be able to donate, even if it's $15, right? You're still doing that. That's still a lot of faith that people have in the brand name, or at least just your cause to purchase merch from a brewery. That's not really a brewery. Some dude in his garage taking a break from work, right? Like that's pretty cool, man. That's got to feel good.
Yeah. Yeah. It's pretty cool. It's been fun. I've just been kind of rolling with it. And then, in like 2019, 2020, kind of right around when COVID kind of got rolling, I was just trying to figure out how I could do a little more. Like I can only do so much with the, you know, with the little half barrel setup over here. So
yeah,
I hit up a local brewery over here, a dude that I knew who just had like a two barrel, you know, one of those kind of garage type breweries. And so he had a little local spot, and we brewed a little charity beer for breast cancer awareness. And Yakima Valley Hops had a 1-in-8 campaign. And I hit them up and I said, hey, will you guys donate the hops for this beer that we're going to do? And we're going to support the, breast cancer awareness with this beer. And they were like, yeah, I had a little connection with them already. You know, I'd been buying some hops from them. So they sent us the hops for the beer, which was, you know, on a two barrel system, it was only, you know, 3 or 4 pounds of hops. And
that's so, nothing, man.
Yeah, for sure. To them, it wasn't a big deal. And so they were on board and it was cool. We brewed the beer and we kind of advertised it on our social medias, and, you know, the two barrels was gone in, you know, super short amount of time. So then I was like, all right, let's see if we can step this up. You know, so I'm like, what can we do next? You know? And so right around that same time too, some friends from the Oregon Brew Crew up in Portland.
Yeah.
They were organizing a Black is Beautiful charity collab. That was in early to mid 2020.
Yeah, that sounds about right. Yeah.
Yeah. When Weathered Souls was doing the Black is Beautiful beers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so Michelle Wonder up there in Portland, we kind of connected, and she had organized this whole collaboration between 12 different home brewers. And she organized it so that there was 6 different charities to donate towards, and we advertised it. And so each of us 12 brewed like 2 cases of beer basically. And we packaged it. And so we ended up making, you know, a bunch of 12 packs, and people would donate directly to one of those charities. And then they would send her the information that they donated, and we would reward them with a 12 pack.
Wow.
And so, yeah, we did 2 rounds of that and raised like around $11,000 between those two kind of charity collabs. And so after that, I was like, all right, let's see if we can step this up a little more. And so beginning of 2022, just the beginning of last year, still trying to keep track of all these years.
it's like permanently 2020, man. That's just, seriously. You know, yeah.
Yeah, so I decided, all right, let me see if I can brew 6 charity beers this year with commercial breweries. And so I, the only way I could do it was to have some incentive for them to brew with a home brewer.
Right.
You know? Like there's no reason for me to reach out like, hey, let's brew a charity beer together. I got nothing.
Yeah. Well, and also like, you know how many emails they probably get like that a year? It's like, come on, dude. Plus all the people coming in, like, will you please try this? You know what? I can tell you the recipe if you want, and we can split the difference.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Totally. Yeah. So the way I tried to approach it was, I'm going to need some incentive for them to brew with me before I even approach any breweries. Mm-hmm. And so I reached back to Yakima Valley Hops and I said, hey, I got an idea. I want to try to brew 6 commercial beers during this year. Will you guys donate all the hops for those beers? I had no idea like how many barrels we were going to do yet, anything. And, they got back to me in like, 10 minutes through email. And they were like, yep, we're on board. Let's go for it.
Wow.
Let's see what you can do.
And you're like, great. Cause I'm brewing at Sierra Nevada on their big system.
And they're all triple IPAs.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly. Yeah. And so after that, I reached out to a contact that had an Imperial Yeast in Portland and with kind of the same thing. I said, I want to brew 6 charity beers this year with commercial breweries. Will Imperial support with the yeast? Mm. And same deal. They got back to me right away and said, yep, we're in. Let's do it. And so then I got an introduction to a rep at Link Malt. They're a food co-op up in Spokane Valley.
Oh, cool.
And Link Foods is the main corporation. And then about 6 or 7 years ago, they branched off and started doing malting line. And so, and then about 3 years into their 7 years that they've been going, they had doubled capacity already. So reached out to Brian up there at Link and told him what the plan was, and he was on board right away. And so now I've got all the ingredients. I'm like ready to go. So I start reaching out to breweries. Some of them I had some contacts with right away. There's a brewery restaurant here in town, a Latin owned brewery called Chicha. And so Matt is a friend. He's the brewer there, and he was on board right away. So he was the first beer that we did, and we raised like $3,500 for a local charity here in Salem with that first beer.
Wow. So, that's super great. Cool. Yeah. That's a good response, man. Yeah.
Yeah. This is way better than I was doing on my own here in the garage.
What was the beer that you brewed?
We brewed an IPA for that one. We kept it pretty simple in the beginning. Kind of the style that I like, that he was on board with, just a clean kind of West Coast style IPA. And we ended up packaging about half of that in cans. And so those went out around town, and they were in there to go cooler, for people to grab on the way out. And yeah, it was super cool. Like it just happened right away. And I was like, all right, let's see what we can do here. And so I had another friend that I used to work with here at the local brewery who had transitioned to a job down at Ninkasi. And so we set up a 5 barrel collab there at Ninkasi on their pilot system, which was super cool. And we brewed a beer down there. And I reached out kind of blindly to some breweries and got some good response back. And, some of them were like, no, we're not into that, or we don't have time right now. And which was cool. It wasn't a big deal, just trying to make these connections, is tough sometimes when you don't even know any of these people. And so I had a phone conversation with Joel, the owner of Ex Novo, a few years ago when I was thinking about starting my own brewery. And I talked to him about starting, I don't know if you know about Ex Novo. They're a nonprofit, not-for-profit model. And so
they've expanded. They sound familiar. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. They're in New Mexico.
I've had their
now.
Beer. Yeah.
And, okay, cool. Yeah. So they started in Portland, and then, the owner Joel is originally from New Mexico. So he moved back there. They started another brewery there. I think they're getting ready to start, or they're going to open a third brewery in New Mexico now, in Albuquerque, I think. And so, yeah, they're growing. And so we brewed an ESB there. We brewed 20 barrels, and we canned like 12 barrels of that. And it went off out in all the way up to Seattle. I heard back from people, which was cool. Like, people were hitting me up, just strangers, like, hey, this is amazing. There was a little blurb on the back of the can that talked about, what charity we were going to donate towards and who the ingredient donors were. And people were just reaching out like, this is really cool. I love what you're doing. And, it kind of kept me motivated, and it was cool. I'm just doing this on the side. And so that one was fun. We supported a local children's theater group, a nonprofit, with that beer. And so that was cool. And then I went down to California and brewed a beer with my friend Jared down there at Bearded Tang.
Tang. What is
yeah?
What is the, you know, like what is it like? The only Tang I know is either the drink or the record company. That's it.
Or Wu Tang.
Or Wu Tang. That's true. It's a fish.
Wu Tang is for the children.
That's right.
Yeah, he's probably listening right now. So I brew a pro-am beer with him every year too for GABF, and we've just been having a good time with brewing. So that's good. Stay connected through that. I've known him since high school. We were in a punk band together after high school.
Oh, no way.
You know, yeah. So
that's tight, man.
Yeah, we've been pals forever. And so
All right. He
always invites me down. We brew a pro-am. And so I hit them up for one of the charity beers. And yeah, we donated to a children's camp, actually, that provides camping outings for kids who have diseases or disabilities where they wouldn't normally be able to go on a camping trip because they need a lot of assistance.
Oh, sure. Right.
And
right,
so
right.
There's a charity called Dream Street, and they provide these camping outings for kids. It was super cool. Yeah.
That's awesome.
And that's so, really awesome.
Yeah. It was pretty cool.
How do you not just, it sounds cold and that's not what I mean, but you know, go like, how do you not stay with a charity like that? Like, I would go like, how can I abandon these kids? I need to, you know what I mean? I would be hard to be like, okay, well, we've done that. Now let's move on to this other charity. Because everyone is, you know, my wife and I try to figure out every year around Christmas, like, hey, we got to donate. Let's donate some money. Let's, you know, give back. Let's do some things because we can't. And it's so hard because there's so many charities and there's so many deserving people of your time and attention and money. How do you pick them? I don't know. I don't know how you do it. I feel bad if I don't support the same thing twice.
Right. When I reach out to these breweries, I kind of throw it out to them. Like, if we're going to do this, then let's support a charity that, you know, you and your company are passionate about, you know,
smart. You give it to them. You give the karmic weight to them. I get it. That's nice.
Sure. Yeah.
just ingredients. Yeah.
Yeah. Since I've been doing a few now, I kind of have sort of a community oriented, you know, community, families, children, you know, like that direction is kind of where we've been kind of going towards, which kind of just happens on its own.
Yeah.
I kind of leave that up to them, and it's worked out really well so far. So,
it's servicing the community that the brewery is in.
For sure.
Yeah. Okay. That's just important. Definitely. I mean, that's great. You know?
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
Yeah. This most recent one that I did is pouring right now out at this little community, Silverton. It's about a 20-minute drive east of Salem. Mm-hmm. And it's a small little town, you know, 10 or 15,000 people live out there, but there's brewery. There's a couple breweries out there actually. And Silver Falls is the state park that's out there. And so Silver Falls Brewing is one of the breweries that I just finished. We actually brewed that one. That was the sixth beer of 2022. And that one's supporting a foundation for a guy that was running a skate and bike shop in town, and he suddenly passed away a year or two ago. And so they started this foundation in his name because he helped build the skate park. He was getting kids on skateboards and getting kids outdoors. And so there's this foundation that's happening in his name at the Fall Line. He had a skate and bike shop called Fall Line, and so that beer is supporting, you know, those kids in their community now and helping them, you know, get a skateboard so that they can go to the skate park because they don't have to stand on the sidelines and watch other kids skate, you know? So it's pretty cool.
That's neat, man.
Yeah. Yeah. And so we did the six beers last year, and, you know, it was coming up towards the end of the year, and I just kind of, I keep the communication open. I try to like keep the pressure off the brewery as much as possible. You know, you know, I don't want to add to their stress. I never put a requirement on how much they have to donate. Every brewery has come up with like sort of a different way that they want to do the donation.
Okay.
One of the breweries decided we're going to donate the amount that all these ingredients would have cost us, but we didn't have to pay for them. So, you know, it was like over $2,000 in ingredients cost for this beer. Then that's how we're going to do the donation. And some of the breweries do like the dollar a pint thing or a certain amount for a half barrel, you know, if those half barrels get, you know, sold off to different tap houses or whatever. And so I just kind of keep it low key and let them kind of decide and not put like a dollar amount at the end. Like, oh, you need to donate this amount at the end. And so
everybody's got different figures and they need to keep their lights on too. Yeah.
Totally. Yeah. And coming off the COVID years, it was like, is this even the right time to be asking breweries to do this? You know?
Right.
And so I didn't want to put any extra pressure on them to be forced into something where they had to donate a certain dollar amount. And
right. So, their can costs are doubling because of the shortages and everything's going on. It was a crazy time to be.
Yeah, man.
You're crazy to do something like this almost. Though.
For sure. Yeah,
but
exactly.
You took on a worthy challenge and sounds like you had some fun with it too.
Yeah, so, for sure. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. For the first five beers we did, I did those first five kind of earlier in the year. And so I already had totals that were it was like 9,500 we raised for those five charities. And then the Silver Falls beer was technically brewed at the end of 2022, but it wasn't released until just a couple weeks ago.
Okay.
We did a Baltic Porter, and so it needed some time to kind of cold condition. And so that one just was released at a little stout fest in Silverton, where the community was totally involved, and that skate shop was there and some other breweries were there, and you know, it was live music and other community vendors, and it was super cool. And so now that one's still pouring out at their brew pub right now.
That's neat, man. That's a lot of goodwill to be passing around, and I think that's what, you know, we should be doing. You know, if you got the means to do it, do it, man. And maybe you can be an example to someone else who wants to set this up in their area too.
Well, it's a great way to give back. Yeah, what you started with is like a few connections. Like we all probably, you know, Brian and JP and I, we have a few connections ourselves. Like if we put our minds to something like that, it just shows you what the power of an idea can be and where you can go or something. Sure. And, you know, I like the kind of low pressure approach to it. And
me too. You know, totally. Yeah. I'm sure the brewers appreciate that too. They got enough shit going on.
Involving what they want to support and making it fun for them, giving for them a little skin in the game too, for like, that's great, I can support this local skate park that was, you know, or the skate shop, the guy passed away, and you know, his family and the skaters and the community appreciate that, and the other children's camping thing. We do a thing every year, Northern California Homebrewers Festival, and a lot of our homebrew community goes and supports. And, you know, that supports getting, I believe it's foster kids out to a camp for the summer. And we're their biggest, I mean, all the homebrewers come for a weekend and we pour beer, we're respectful of their space. And we, you know, have a big, everybody just pours their beer and shares with each other. There's music and fun and camping. Right, and we just, you know, we give back to the community, but we're just there paying our ticket and having fun for the most part. Mm-hmm. But at the end, when they announce how much money went towards the cause, it's like really, you know, heartwarming to
you're having feel like you're having fun. Ryan sweating over a mash tun, you know,
right?
That's another thing. I was like, some of the breweries were like, okay, are you going to sell some of this beer on your own, or how do you want to handle that? And I'm like, no, you guys, the brewery still sells the beer as they normally would. You know, they have their distribution channels that they need to, you know, they need to fill. And and so I just kind of left it up to them, like however they wanted to sell the beer, then just keep doing what you're doing. And and so we're rolling into the next year now, and I've got two more planned, one next week in Portland at Zoigel House, which is a lager heavy brewery up in Portland.
I love it already.
Just kind of totally blindly reached out to this head brewer, and just sent an email and told him about the project, about what was going on. And I had these ingredients companies, you know, who are signed on for another year. They're like, yeah, let's roll with it, see what we can do for the next year. So I reached out to him, and he called me like 10 minutes later after I sent this email. I was like, we had like an hour conversation, talked about the whole thing. And and so we planned it out now, and we're going to brew a Dortmunder next week. And we both had a connection to this children's hospital that's in Portland called Dornbecker's. And so we're going to brew a Dortmunder for Dornbecker's.
Dude, that's awesome. I love it.
So we're going to brew like 22 to 24 barrels of this beer, and we're going to can up a bunch of it, and it's going to go out all over the community. And so it's going to spread the word pretty cool. I'll send you guys the can art on that one.
Send me the can. Fuck the can art, dude. I don't give a shit. I want to drink the beer. I mean, no offense. I'm sure the can art will be fucking fantastic, but, you know, I want to try it. So.
Yeah, it will be. Yeah, right. Totally.
I'll send some absolutely. Down. Yeah, that's cool, man. Sure. So any breweries listening, I know there are a few, strangely enough, people still listen to this show. How can they get a hold of you if they want to, you know, participate or maybe just pick your brain on how to set up something similar in their area?
Yeah, that'd be rad. Through my website, I've got oldstandbybrewing.com. They can hit me up through the website. Yeah, that'd be cool. If a brewery just heard this and they were like, hey, we want to do that, then they would be the first one to actually reach out to me and say, hey,
that'd be cool,
brew a charity beer.
Yeah.
You know? So yeah. Yeah. That'd be totally cool if they reached out that way.
Nice.
I have another one coming up in Bend. Cascade Lakes Brewing out in Bend. They've been going for, I think they started up in the 90s. They've been around for a while.
Yeah.
They have one of those new ownership.
Older names that I recognize. Yeah.
For sure. Yeah. Cool. I think in 2018, a family bought it out and they turned it into a not-for-profit. And so it's like the Central Oregon not-for-profit brewery now.
Not-for-profit brewery. That seems weird to me. I mean, especially because as much as we've talked on all these shows about breweries struggling to make a profit.
Totally.
And to get paid and, you know, to pay their people and to expand and do all the stuff. Like it seems wild to just sort of like, I don't know, whatever, dude, can we keep the lights on? Let's do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they're actually building a new brew pub. And so I think it's going to be their third location. They have there's a little town north of Bend called Redmond.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where their commercial brewery is. But then they have an older brew pub that's in Bend. Kind of on the west side of town, and they're building another brew pub on the east side of town. It's going to open with this beer too. It will be available.
Oh, that's cool,
we're going to brew a kind of a hoppy Hellas out there, and that one's coming up in March.
Sounds great too. So, but we get the Imperial fucking coffee stout, Brian. Come on. Whatever. That's cool, you know, man.
Ryan, you said something earlier that I don't want to kind of skip over. I think it's a good life. I think it's a life lesson, as well as one reason why you've been successful with this, is that you just picked up the phone and started calling people you didn't know. And that's like one of the scariest things to do in life, no matter in whatever context. But there's times you just have to do it. And it's a skill that you can learn. And I think about that. And I don't want to be all philosophical and shit on Dr. Homebrew, but that's just something that maybe people could listen to that maybe could help their lives in areas in up to and including homebrewing, but not necessarily including homebrewing.
For sure. Yeah. Yeah, definitely. It is scary. It was kind of daunting to just kind of reach out to people that I had no idea what they were going to say, how they were going to react. Yeah. You know, that's,
it's like, who are you? What do you want to do?
Exactly.
You can only imagine that's what they're going to say. And it gets so hard to just, whether you're emailing or calling whatever, that can be it's a difficult thing to do. So, but that's one of the things you have to do to be successful at some things.
I wonder if it's almost like people are ready for that now. You know, there was a time where I think a lot of charity event, you know, there'd be like charity fundraiser, beer events, like, you know, charity come on, you know, like beer, you buy a ticket and then a portion donates and people are going, oh, you know, you have to donate the keg. And then turns out that's illegal. Can't really do that in some places.
Right.
And I wonder if there was a lot of focus on sort of internal, you know, growth and we'll just keep it to ourselves and we'll just, you know, we're not going to really reach out and expend the money to, you know, donate or, you know, do these big, you know, non-cost effective things, even though they're great for the community. And especially with COVID, I wonder if now is that's that time when people are ready to sort of branch out a little bit more, maybe sacrifice some of their profits for the community that kept them afloat, you know, through the lockdowns and you know,
totally.
That kind of stuff. I wonder if it's just the perfect timing.
Yeah. Yeah. It's worked out well. I'm still kind of surprised that it's still kind of just rolling now and it's kind of gaining momentum, you know.
Good, it should. Hopefully, it does, man. Hopefully, this is just you're known as like the charity beer guy. That'd be cool.
Very synergistic, and it's like there's the, you know, the ingredients. People, it doesn't sound like they're expecting a whole lot. Maybe they get a little logo somewhere on the cans, or not even that,
for sure.
Or just get mentioned in an article or something. But you know, it's just goodwill and helping people out, and to them, you know, for some of these batches, it's a small amount, but it's getting. Sounds like it's getting bigger, 20 something barrel batches. That's a substantial donation for some of those ingredients.
That's a lot. Yeah,
really
yeah,
is.
Definitely.
All right, Ryan, we're going to let you go, man. We're going to split, but yeah, I appreciate it. Thank you very much for your time and for sending the beer and definitely welcome back anytime. If you guys are interested in learning more about Ryan and his beers, go to oldstandbybrewing.com and you can buy some merch and you know, check out the collabs and the charities he's worked with and you know, learn a little bit more about what's up and coming for that.
Cool, right on. Appreciate you guys having me on.
Thanks, Ryan. Appreciate it.
Thanks for being on.
I finished the coffee stout.
Oh God, we got another show to do, Brian. What the hell's wrong with you?
There might be some caffeine in there. That'll keep
you going. Well, yeah, it's true. Yeah, you're gonna crossfade on that. Hang on, we're gonna take a quick break, everybody. We'll be right back with Dr. Homebrew. Stay tuned.
The leader in affordable, high-quality kegerators is here. Introducing Komos, the kegerator designed with serious beer drinkers in mind. It features an all-stainless steel draft tower, a major upgrade over traditional chrome-plated brass towers, and Komos keeps your new tower cold with their air-cooled tower fan, wrapping your beer lines in frigid coolness. Your beer is poured from innovative forward-sealing faucets that don't leak, so they stay cleaner for longer. Dual gas inlets on the rear of the fridge allow you to run both CO2 and nitrogen gas. Serve your beer with CO2, serve your kegged wine, or even cocktails with nitrogen. The digital temperature display has the largest range available, allowing you to use the Komos Kegerator for fermentation if you need to. And now Komos Kegerators ship with duo-tight draft fittings for that click-to-connect assembly we've all dreamed of. Buy direct from KomosDraft.com and receive free shipping on your order. That's KomosDraft.com.
Now, back to the examination.
All right, everybody. Thanks for hanging on. We are about to get out of here. Thank you very much to Ryan. I was thinking of a Council of Ryan joke, but I don't know. I didn't think anybody would care. So I thought I'd explain the explanation of it instead. You know what I mean? I like that coffee. That coffee stout. It was good.
I'm getting a little caffeine buzz. Yeah.
Are you? You're like, yeah, man, I got to. Got to clean or something.
No, I felt it last night when I judged it too. I was starting to get a little tired, and then I hit that one. I was like, I start perking back up a little bit.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. There you go, man.
I usually do coffee at night.
You know, having more coffee stout would be a great way to go to sleep because there's more alcohol.
That's right. Oh yeah, for sure. You know,
just keep drinking that, you'll be fine.
I was listening to this radio guy, Phil Hendry, my hero, and he was saying like he read something where. Sometimes drinking caffeine will help him get more tired because he's so tired. He's like overtired and it like elevates your back up, your brain waves back up to being tired again. And I was like, I don't know about that. I think he's fucking with me, but, it seems good to me. I don't know, man. My coffee roaster blew. So I had to buy a fucking brand new coffee roaster. Shout out to the Fresh Roast SR800 from Moorbeer. Fucking great, dude. Like the coffee flavors have never been better. And so I maybe that's why I'm like keyed in on his coffee flavors. They were dynamic and you don't really get that from coffee beers too much. And I was sort of almost disappointed to hear that it's just like ground in the keg. Cause I would always tell people that it doesn't work, but what that's teaching me is it's very much bean dependent and roast dependent.
In a very dry beer, this would taste so much different, I'm sure.
Yeah.
You know, this is a very sweet beer.
Yeah.
And a very alcoholic beer. So, and it works. And the level was a little high. It's amazing that it was high on top of everything else that was there. 50
right.
pounds of,
I know. You know,
and fermentables.
Yeah. In the future, I want people to realize that like it is bean dependent. It's not just like, well, I took two row and I mashed at 148 and then 156. And then here's the difference. You can't really do that with coffee. Coffee's not just coffee. It's very, very different. The names are different for a reason, you know, even like in regions of Colombia, they're different. You know, farms have a different terroir. It's just like wine, like grapes, you know, and you got to hit on the right coffee for you and then figure out what beer style to put it in and then figure out how to do it. So, it was interesting. It was one of the first times that I've sort of like been caught off guard with that because I'm so clever and smart. All right. We're going to get out of here, everybody.
Yeah.
If you're listening live, stay tuned. We're about to hit another show with my beer. an ESB, and then we have a mild to drink. But if you want to get on the show, email Brian at thebrewingnetwork.com. I know there's a guy in the chat room, Rob, who is berating you constantly through the entire show, okay. Cooper, and you have not gotten back to him. So no more of this bullshit. Like, no one's sending us emails because Rob is patiently waiting. I think he's camped out at his post office just waiting for an address.
I'm on it.
Yeah, you are. That a boy. All right, everybody. We're going to get out of here. Brian at thebrewingnetwork.com. Thank you very much to Five Star Chemicals. Go to fivestarchemicals.com right now. Learn about the best ways to clean and sanitize your home brewing equipment and your life, basically. All right, everyone. We'll see you.